Jeff Patterson from TSN 1040 in Vancouver joins us. Jeff, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Yeah, doing well, guys.
Well, let's update us on the injury front on the back end for the Canucks.
How much time do you have?
Hey, buddy, we got 12 minutes.
All right, well, let's go. We'll try and squeeze them all in. Interesting situation last night. It looked after the game-based skate like Chris Tanev was going to play. Kind of banged his head on the goalpost in Calgary, sliding back into Ryan Miller on Saturday night, finished the game there. We knew that Alex Edler wasn't going to play, so they were already going to be without their number one minute-munching guy. And Kevin Bieksa has been out of the lineup since the All-Star break, but Tanev looked like he was going to play last night and then got to the rink and the warm-up, and out came the Canucks, and there was no sign of Chris Tanev. So, they played last night against a hard-charging Minnesota team, minus three of their top four defensemen. This Alex Biega story is a pretty good one. Every team sort of has these throughout the year, but, you know, here's a 26-year-old career minor leaguer, 330-some games in the American Hockey League, was called up as insurance. He found out at 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, Tanev couldn't go. He's going to step in the lineup, make his NHL debut, scores the game-winning goal. So pretty good storybook stuff there, and they say Tanev's day-to-day. Edler could be a couple of weeks, which has to be a huge concern for them as they head out on the road for five. And Bieksa, saw him yesterday at the rink, broken hand, blocked a shot in Tampa just before the All-Star break, is still in a splint and looks like he's probably 3 weeks at the earliest away.
Wow.
And Frank Corrado, you know, a rookie who would be playing ahead of certainly guys like Alex Biega and maybe ahead of Ryan Stanton as well. He's out with a middle body injury. I think it's an oblique or something like that. So he's out as well. So, yeah, I mean, they're banged up. And up front, Nick Bonino and Brad Richardson missing. 1 month ago in Carolina, the Canucks were 100% healthy. Every single available guy was in the lineup. No injuries to speak of. 1 month later, they've got six. You know, I mean, that's just the nature of the beast, and every team has to go through it. But as they head out on the road, they're into New York to take on the Rangers to start a five-game road trip tomorrow or on Thursday. They're going to be under the gun here. They'll be put to the test.
So, you know, you just listed off that many guys, you know, Edler, Bieksa, Tanev. I think clearly those are the big three injuries on the back end for the Canucks. Do you think they're good enough to withhold for the next 2 or 3 weeks until some of these guys get back to stay in the race?
As is, I think that's a big ask. You know, Dan Hamhuis had played 700 and some odd games. He had more experience himself than the other five guys they had on the blue line combined last night. That just kind of gives you an idea. I mean, Yannick Weber is a journeyman who is a, you know, 6'7" kind of guy. He logged 22 minutes of ice time. You can get away with that once in a while. You know, that's just not sustainable, matching up, especially on the road, you know, against the top teams. And I see Rick Nash is, I mean, Yannick Weber is not a shutdown guy, to say the least. So, Ryan Stanton and Adam Clendenning, they picked up Clendenning from Chicago. You know, they want to see a young guy. They were a right-handed shot with some offensive flair. At least that's the book on him. You know, they wanted to ease him into the lineup. And again, last night, he's on your second pairing, and that's just where they are as a hockey club right now. So it was a good win for them, a gritty win against Minnesota last night. But, I think Jim Benning is going to have to consider, you know, a stopgap and maybe get into the trade market here and bring in somebody. But I don't think they want to give up a ton of assets because they do expect Tanev back on the road trip. Bieksa, you know, he will return at some point. And, you know, maybe the best thing for Kevin Bieksa is that he wasn't having a terrific season. So, you know, rest up for the stretch run. Maybe comes back refreshed a little bit. I don't think they want to go all in to bring in another National Hockey League defenseman. But at the same time, as you pointed out right off the top, I mean, they're just in a battle for their playoff life on a nightly basis here. They may have to get something just to get them through here for the foreseeable future.
Jeff Patterson joining us. How concerned are they about Ryan Miller?
The goaltending, you know how the goaltending works here in Vancouver. It's always a story. It had been pretty quiet for the first half of the season, but you know, all Eddie Lack does is deliver victories when he gets a chance. I mean, his last three starts, Winnipeg, Chicago, and last night Minnesota, and Eddie Lack has won all three of those games, and he hasn't been perfect, but, Ryan Miller's been pretty spotty, and it's not like Miller's been terrible. It's just that, you know, at the end of the night, he's given up one too many, like Calgary on Saturday. It's a 2-2 tie to the third period. They needed to get something out of that hockey game, and Ryan Miller was the goaltender that blinked there. So You know, I mean, the question is how much will Ryan Miller play down the stretch? He remains the number one guy, but Eddie Lack's delivering victories here. They're playing five games and eight nights on the road, so I wouldn't be surprised if it was sort of a 3-2 split with Ryan Miller getting the three games there. But there's no doubt, I mean, Ryan Miller, you know, statistically, it has been an okay season for him, but not a $6 million season, certainly. And there's just no margin for error, especially when they've got a guy like Eddie Lack who is pushing for more ice time, more starts, and delivering when he gets his opportunities. So, you know, kind of crunch time for Ryan Miller, and his wife is about to deliver their first child here, and so I have a funny feeling that, you know, there's some off-ice distractions, and we'll see how he deals with all of that, and maybe that'll open the door for Eddie Lack to get a few extra starts that maybe he didn't anticipate he would get. But, yeah, I mean, it's been an okay season. It's hard to argue with the 26 wins that Ryan Miller has, but... there's no question that there's a little bit of room for improvement in his game. I mean, he just hasn't been at an elite level all season long. So it'll be interesting to watch. It's never dull in the goaltending department here out on the West Coast.
Definitely not. Up front, Zach Kassan, we've heard all the stories about him. What about Bo Horvat? How's he developing as a rookie?
Bo Horvat's been an unbelievable story, especially since the All-Star break. And I was just looking today, in fact, since Christmas, the Twins and Radovan Vrbata lead the Canucks in scoring, and Bo Horvat is fourth on this hockey club in 23 games. He has 8 points in his last 10 games. And it's not just the points. This is a guy who last night, in a one-all tie late in the second period, is out there matching up against Zach Parise, Mika Koivu, and Jason Pominville. He's taken on Joe Thornton recently. He's been matched up against Ryan Getzlaff when Pittsburgh was through. Willie DeJardin put him out there on a regular basis against both Crosby and Malkin. I mean, the Canucks don't seem the least bit concerned with this guy defensively. He's been one of their best faceoff guys. You know, first half of the season, they kind of eased him into it, told him they had no real offensive expectations, but... you know, he's just kind of like the horse that's been in the barn here, and they've opened the doors now. And, you know, again, without Bonino, without Richardson, they're pretty thin down the middle. So this is it's been a great opportunity and a chance to learn on the job for Bo Horvat. But at 19 years of age, does not look out of place. And right now, I would say, is probably the second-best center the Vancouver Canucks have at their disposal.
So, Jeff, quickly recapping, Edler, you're saying 3 weeks?
Yeah, they're saying week to week, but whenever they say 1-2, it's never the one, right? I would say a couple of weeks, probably not on this road trip for Alex Edler. Tanev is on the trip. He flew with the Canucks. They're saying day to day there. So, you know, they play Thursday, Friday. We'll see if he's available for either of those games, but I would certainly think by the time they get into Long Island on Sunday, Chris Tanev will be back in their lineup. And Bieksa looks like he's probably still 3 weeks or a month away.
3 to 4 weeks. And then what about Corrado?
Yeah, he's back skating on his own, so he might be the closest to the bunch of them, but no real time frame for him yet.
Well, it should be interesting in Vancouver. Is there as much pressure on the organization to make the playoffs now as there was last year?
No, I don't think there is. You know, last year it was John Tortorella brought in to squeeze whatever he could out of that group, and obviously that didn't work, and Gillis and Tortorella aren't here anymore. So now, you know, the new management group, I think, has a longer leash here. But, you know, Jim Benning and Willie DeJardin, first years on the jobs or in the jobs that they've got, you can understand why both of those guys want to make the playoffs. There are a lot of people here that say, hey, you know, this team's not going to go anywhere in the playoffs, so why bother? You know, and you kind of listed it off there right off the top. I look at the playoff race a little bit differently just because two of the Pacific Division teams are getting in, right? I mean, the wild card is almost a fallback. Minnesota and Winnipeg are certainly in that race too, but two of the Canucks and Calgary and LA and San Jose are getting into those 2-3 spots in the Pacific Division. So in that sense, it's almost a 50-50 proposition. And as you said, three games to go against the LA Kings. Haven't beaten the Kings in their first two games this year. The Kings are sort of the Canucks' kryptonite. They've had a little bit of success against Anaheim and San Jose, but they still haven't been able to get over the hump against the LA Kings. They get three cracks at them. They play the Sharks twice, so you know, it's there for them. And if they somehow were to finish in the 2 slot in the Pacific and get home ice advantage, you know, I mean, Calgary, you can figure out the San Jose Sharks. You're a better person than I am. The LA Kings coming on now. You know, it's going to be an interesting race, but, you know, if they can get into the 2 slot somehow, I mean, there's nothing to say that they couldn't somehow squeeze out a first-round win if they're a wild-card team and they match up against one of those superpowers. Forget about it. So, you know, it's kind of interesting that if they can stay where they are, and right now, as they sit here right this minute, they're in that second spot in the Pacific. So we'll see how it all plays out. But in terms of pressure, I don't know if there's a ton of pressure on the organization, but I think that they realize that they're in the battle, and it's, you know, very much in their own hands from here on out.
Well, it should be a great race. Looking forward to seeing who goes in and who goes out. I can tell you, in Edmonton, fans are cheering heartily for both Calgary and Vancouver to miss. So we'll see what happens.
All right.